Yeah. You know, I just wanted you to know if you give candy, I'll leave it alone. And so will everybody else that works here. Oh, Watson is... Okay, there's an admission of guilt before the crime. So if there's any candy missing and he's got chocolate around his lips, we'll know. Check for what? Okay, this is getting out of control. Everybody's like, okay, all right, okay. So anyway, candy. All right. So glad to see you this morning. We are about 8 weeks or 9 weeks, maybe 10 weeks into a series on verses every Christian should know and why they should know them. All Scripture, and this is important, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is equally inspired. Even the verses in the Old Testament or the New Testament that you may not understand is still part of the Word of God, and it's inspired of God. But there are some verses and passages in the Bible that just resonate with people. And one of the ones that we've been looking at, the first one was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, don't lean on your understanding. We've looked at several through the last few weeks, and this morning we're going to be looking at this one, Jeremiah 29, 11. So if you would open your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 29, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Would you read that with me out loud together, everybody? Ready? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. This verse is just one of those verses that has resonated with Christians for years and years and years. If there were still Christian bookstores, which there aren't, but used to be there were lots of Christian bookstores, and I would go in them. And even online, if you look on ChristianBookDistributor.com, you'll see all kinds of things, coffee mugs, bookmarks, T-shirts with Jeremiah 29:11 on it. It'll say something like, I know the plans I have for you. So this is a very familiar verse, but it needs to be understood in the context of this verse. The context is that the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. They were there because of their disobedience to God, and God put them in basically 70 years of time out. We understand time out with your kids and grandkids. So time out. So God said, I have hope in the future for you. I'm not trying to harm you or hurt you, or I'm not angry with you. I don't hate you. I'm not disowning you. But this is necessary. I have plans for you to prosper you, not to hurt you, to give you a hope in the future. But he goes on to say in this passage, you're going to be there for 70 years. So there's some things that you need to do to navigate those waters of captivity until I let you go. Remember, he did let them go. Remember the book of Nehemiah? We went through the book of Nehemiah. He had let them go back to Jerusalem, let them reestablish the temple, let them reestablish the town, the city of Jerusalem, the walls, and all that kind of stuff. But they had to go through this time of time out. So what do you do with that? Discouragement is a common human emotion. Now, let me just ask, I don't want to assume, how many of you have ever in your life been discouraged? Really? Okay. Don't raise your hand on this one, but ask yourself, how many of you may be discouraged like this morning, like now? And I'm dealing with discouragement, and I don't really know what to do with this. I'm just discouraged. People get discouraged for any number of reasons. Let me read some to you that I found and just kind of jotted down and I'm putting together a list. Some common causes of discouragement. Here's one, experiencing setbacks in achieving your goals. You set out to do something, and it just didn't happen. Now, here's what I hope doesn't happen. When I go through this list, I hope none of you go, well, I was fine, but now I'm discouraged. Now, you've gone through this list of reasons that people get discouraged, and now I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking, well, dog, I'm discouraged now. That's not the point of this sermon, but I just want to throw this out. Some people get discouraged because of setbacks. Some keep people get discouraged because they feel overwhelmed. Overwhelmed at home, overwhelmed at work, overwhelmed in life. Just overwhelmed. Some people get discouraged because they have fear for the future. I would say that is an ongoing challenge for those of us who have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Trace and I have had the conversation that I'm not worried about she and I. 25 years from now, we're going to be in heaven with the Lord. But if the Lord doesn't come in the next 50, 60 years, what kind of world are my granddaughters going to grow up in? And I'm a little concerned about that. So it's easy to get discouraged when you don't know what the future is going to be. Sometimes people get discouraged because of exhaustion. Physical, mental, emotional exhaustion. Just, I'm fried. I'm just, you know what this is? This is the kind of stuff where you wake up tired. Where you slept all night, but you didn't sleep well, and you woke up and you're still exhausted because life is just smacking you around. Sometimes it's lack of control over your circumstances. I've got a boss. I've got a situation. The economy. A family member. An illness of a family member. A friend. All these things happening in my life that I can't control. I cannot do anything about this. And yet it can get to you. How about this one? For widows, widowers, empty nesters. Loneliness and isolation. Like I was so busy and then my spouse is gone and my kids are grown and they're so busy and I'm by myself. And it can get to you. Or sometimes it's consequences of self-inflicted bad decisions. Where you make a decision 20 years ago and 25 years ago, and it's just taken a while to bear fruit. And now you don't have enough money in retirement because you didn't do anything 25 years ago. Or maybe you are a workaholic and you were never there for your kids. And now that you have free time, your kids aren't there for you. And they learned how to be busy from watching you. Like you were never there for them, and now you really would like to see them, and they just don't have that relationship with you. Like, I remember in our own extended family, one of my family members was a workaholic, worked 70 hours a week for 45 years, and then he retired. And his grown kids said, "Dad, Mom's the one that raised us. You weren't here for us." She was. So sometimes it's just bearing the fruit of the seeds you planted a long time ago. But for any number of reasons now, I'm going positive the rest of the morning. So I don't want you to go, "I'm so discouraged. John has just got me so down. I'm so sad." No, that's not the point. Here's the point. The blessing is that discouragement can lead you to become closer to the Lord. And discouragement can help you and I to appreciate our blessings more fully. Something I've discovered in the Bible is whenever there is a promise in the Bible, ask yourself, why was that promise given? He says in this verse, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Why did God promise the nation of Israel, the captivities in Babylon, these people he's writing to, why did he promise them a hope and a future? Because they felt hopeless and that they didn't have any future. So whenever you read a promise in the Bible from God, there's a reason it's there. Here's another one. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. Why would that promise be given? Because of the care you and I carry sometimes and feel like nobody cares. And Peter said, "Yeah, there's somebody that cares. His name is God." How about Hebrews 4:16? "Come boldly to the throne of grace. Find grace to obtain mercy and find help in time of need." Why would God promise that? Because there are times where we really have need and we don't know where else to turn. I love that song, "Come Jesus, Come." Come turn things around. I know this world is not the way it's supposed to be. And we have a book full of promises that tell us, yeah, this is not the way it's supposed to be. But it is going to get better. That God does have a hope and a future. Now, in the background of this story, these people were taken captive in 597 BC. The Babylonians began to deport the Jews to Babylon. This is out of a Bible dictionary I have. In Jeremiah 29:10, the Lord told the people they would be there for 70 years. And there's this deportation from Jerusalem to Babylon. And then 70 years later, they began to free the people to go back home. And they went back in three waves. And we studied this in Nehemiah. The first wave was Zerubbabel. He took a bunch of people from Babylon. The second wave was 80 years later. It was Ezra. And then the third wave was 13 years later. It was Nehemiah. And we dove into the book of Nehemiah and studied this. But God told them, you are going to be in captivity because of your disobedience to me. I don't have time to dive into this, but their disobedience was they did not obey God regarding the Sabbath. God said, the seventh day is mine. The seventh year of the land for the land is mine. And they ignored that. Watch this. I don't have time to go into all the history, but they ignored him for 490 years. 490 divided by 7, which is the seventh day or the seventh year. 490 divided by 7 is 70. And God said to them, I told you to honor my Sabbath. You didn't give it, so I'm going to take it. And he did. For 70 years, they sat in captivity. But he gave them a plan, a workable solution to what to do while they're in captivity. So what do you do when you're in the captivity of discouragement, so to speak? You're in this season of discouragement. Things are just hard. Maybe your health is not, oh, I'm facing this and I don't want to face this. Or maybe you lost somebody you love. Or maybe your job is not going the way you wanted it to. Or maybe they're cutting back at work and you're thinking, they might catch me in the cutbacks. I don't know. Or your kids don't call you back like they should. Or life is not, the people you voted for didn't get in. And you don't like the way things are. So what do you do with these seasons that God brings us through? Let me give you an outline here. This is the outline we're going to work through. What God told them to do is the same thing that would work for us. He's talking to the Israelites, the people in captivity, saying, do this, do this, and do this. But I want to submit to you that the same things he told them to do will work for us. So just track this with me. He tells them to embrace change in verse 4 through 7. He tells them to feed the truth and starve the lies that they're being told in verses 8, 9, and 10. And then recognize the divine partnership, the divine alignment that they're going to have with God, verses 11, 12, and 13. So I want to dive into this. Let's look at the first one, embrace change, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. Look in your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 29. In the context of verse 11, you have to look at 4 through 13. You have to. So in verse 4 through 7, God says this, this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says to all the exiles I deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Find wives for yourselves and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters to men in marriage so that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease. Pursue the well-being of the city I have deported you to. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for when it thrives, you will thrive. Embrace the change. Let me give you the first one there again. Embrace the change. Embrace the change. Turn your setbacks into stepping stones. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me, and I'm not being dramatic, I'm serious about this. You ever look in the mirror in the bathroom and talk to yourself? Please tell me you do. That I'm not the only person that does this. No? Thank you. Two of us. I was in the bathroom one day getting ready for my day, shaving and doing all that kind of stuff. And I was going through a season of difficulty that was discouraging. I mean, it really was. My career was not where I wanted it to be. And I was like, I didn't know what to do with it. I couldn't change it. And I was stuck. And I'm in the bathroom. And these five words came to me. And they're just so deep. You're going to want to write this down. Five words will change your life. I looked in the mirror at myself. And I said to myself. And myself was looking back at me. If you look in the mirror and somebody else is looking back at you, you got another problem altogether. I was looking at myself in the mirror. And it just hit me to say this to myself, and it changed the course of my life. Here it is. You ready? Everybody ready? Five words. It is what it is. It's like it just hit me that morning. It is what it is. What are you going to do about it? Like, what are you supposed to, what are you going to do about it? Some things you just cannot change. It is what it is. So God kind of says to them, it is what it is. You're going to be here. You're here. So go raise your kids as Israelites in a foreign land. You're Christians in a foreign land. You're followers of Jehovah God in a foreign land. There's plenty of young people for your kids to marry. So go ahead, get them married to other Jewish people and build godly homes and plant your gardens and get involved in the community. And you know what a lot of people do when they're discouraged? They just go home, pull the shades, put the cell phone on vibrate, crawl in under a blanket in the hole, in a cocoon, and they just stop living. And that is not the cure for discouragement, is to not stop living, but to embrace where you are. Like, it is what it is. This is where I'm at. I don't like it, but this is where I'm at. And believe it or not, that is the first step to getting out of your discouragement, is being honest with yourself. This is where I am. And I'm okay with that. I just need to know. When I was in grad school, one of my professors, he worked for David Jeremiah for 25 years, and then he moved to Lynchburg and is over some of the counseling departments at Liberty University. He's written a couple of books. He was my professor in a counseling class I had to take. And Ken Nichols, just funny guy. And one day he looked at us. There were about 15, 20 of us in this class, all grad students, just sitting around. We had Ken Nichols for a whole week to talk about counseling. It was a blast. But he said this to us, and this is another thing that you might want to write down. Guys, he said, whether or not you learn, the pain is the same. So you might as well learn something. And it was like, ding, 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 ding. Whether or not you learn from your experiences where you are right now, whether or not you learn from it, the pain is the same. You might as well get something out of it. Dr. Nichols was right. So when you find yourself in a season of discouragement, embrace it. Don't run from it. Just accept it. It is what it is. Someone I love has passed. My job has changed. My kids are gone. I don't feel well. I used to. I got to have this surgery. I don't want to have it. Whatever it is, you just kind of embrace it and say, okay, I'm up for it. Here we go. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. When I found out I had prostate cancer last year, whenever, year before last, whenever, Tracy was with me when the doctors told me. And we were leaving the building, and I'm just thinking about what's next. You know, radiation versus surgery, what am I going to do? So I look over at Tracy, and she's crying. I said, what you crying about? She looks at me like I'm a moron. She said, did you not just hear that you have cancer? I said, yeah. I said, this is going to be fun. I've never had cancer before. And I asked her about that because that is the truth. In the parking lot of the doctor's office, I said, I've never had cancer before. I've had a brain tumor. I've had open heart surgery. I've had blood clots in my lungs. I've never had cancer before. This will be a fun experience. She said, you are absolutely crazy. Now, I'm not crazy, but it was my way of saying, okay, it is what it is. I got cancer. It's very treatable. They caught it early. I did the radiation. It's gone. I'm fine. But thank you. But, I mean, you know, when we live in denial and we don't embrace where you are, you're going to mire down in discouragement until you stop and say, okay, step number one, what God told them, plant your gardens, get your kids married, build your house, build your life. Pray for the peace of your community, for if they're successful, you're going to be successful. In other words, embrace where you are, embrace the change, because this is the way it is. It is what it is. Second thing he tells them is to feed the truth and starve the lives. Now look at verse 8 through 10. This is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. Don't let your prophets who are among you and your diviners deceive you, and don't listen to the dreams you elicit from them, for they are prophesying falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them. This is the Lord's declaration. For this is what the Lord says: when 70 years for Babylon was complete, I will attend to you, and I will confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this place. If you dive into this whole section of Jeremiah, you'll find there were false prophets there telling people what they wanted to hear. Oh, you're going to be out of here in a few weeks. It'll be all right. It's not that big a deal. And the Lord said, no, they're lying to you. Now, this is really important. When you find yourself in a season of discouragement, the first thing you got to do is embrace the reality. What is the reality? The reality, as I'm here, it is what it is. Embrace the reality. Number two, seek the truth and not lies. We spend 5-10 minutes a day in this, and we spend 4 hours a day in social media, and we wonder why we're so discouraged. Because we bombard ourselves with lies and hatred and anger and evil, and we don't bombard ourselves with truth. Now get this. There is a direct correlation. This is really huge. There is a direct correlation between lies and discouragement. And there's a direct correlation between truth and encouragement. Nobody is ever encouraged from lies, because sooner or later you find out it's a lie. It's not so. I just need to know the truth. Whatever the truth is, tell me the truth. Don't tell me what I want to hear. Don't tell me what you think will make me feel better. Tell me the truth. I can deal with the truth. You can't handle the truth. That was my Jack Nicholson, by the way. That's why I'm not an actor. I can deal with truth. I just need to know what it is. Right? I just need to know what it is. And I can deal with that. You will not find encouragement in lies. You will find encouragement, watch, you will find encouragement and the path forward to the degree you immerse yourself in truth. The more you immerse yourself in truth, the more encouraged you will eventually be. But the more you immerse yourself in lies, the more you're going to be discouraged. Lies lead to discouragement. Truth leads to encouragement. What you feed will grow. What you starve will die. What you feed, if you feed your mind in truth, that truth will grow in your heart and your soul. If you feed your mind with lies, that will grow into more and more discouragement and darkness of soul. People that immerse themselves in the world, the flesh, and the devil don't end up being happy people. Let me tell you something about sin, and I wasn't going to say this, but I'm already here, so I might as well. I already got you here. I don't want you to have to come back for this, so here you go. Sin, you've heard this. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go, keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and cost you more than you were willing to pay. And when you give yourself to the world, the flesh, and the devil, that's going to lead to discouragement and despair and even self-harm and suicidal tendencies. It is only when you immerse yourself in the truth. The truth leads to encouragement. Encouragement leads to the sun shining again and the birds singing again. And it's okay, because I've embraced the change. It is what it is. And I'm immersing myself in truth and not in lies. Truth shapes me. Lies break me. There's some scriptures up there. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I know the perfect will of God? It's good and acceptable. It's perfect. By renewing my mind. How do I renew my mind? By diving into the truth. Embracing the truth and rejecting the change. You are the last person on this planet that can control what goes in here and what goes in here. It's you. You decide what you're going to think about. You decide what you're going to hear. So do you want to spend all your time when you're already discouraged listening to people and things that are going to make you more discouraged? Or are you going to reach over and turn off the talk radio? I used to listen to talk radio all the time. I don't do that anymore. You know who I listen to when I'm driving to work or driving home at night? Charles Stanley, Tony Evans, David Jeremiah, Warren Wiersbe, worship music. I listen to things that are going to make me feel better and uplift me and teach me and help me be a stronger believer. I don't listen to garbage. You can control not listening and feeding your mind. You starve the lies and you feed your mind with truth. That's what God was telling them to do. Don't listen to these false prophets. I did not send them. I did not send them. I'm telling you the truth. By the way, the Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. The Bible says the devil cannot tell the truth. And the Bible says in Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. You know how you can tell if God's telling the truth? His lips are moving. You know how you can tell if the devil's lying? His lips are moving. I don't listen to him. I listen to my Heavenly Father who loves me more than anybody in the universe. I listen to him. That's what God told them to do. The third part is to recognize the divine alignment with the Lord. Now in verse 11 through 13 it says this, I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. This is our key verse this morning. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. You will call to me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's a partnership. God's part is in verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. I want you to do me a favor. It's up there. I'm going to read the first five words, and I want you to read the next four words. And there's a reason for this. You ready? I'm going to read the first five, and I want you out loud with vigor and excitement to read the next four. For I know the plans.
I have for you.
He didn't say, for I know the plans you have for you. Bam, boom, 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 boom. God's part is this amazing plan that he is so smart and he knows everything and he knows the future and we don't. All we know is we are in a season of discouragement right now and I don't know what to do with it. And God says, I know what to do with it. Here's my part. I got a plan for you. Not to harm you, not to hurt you, to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. And he was telling these folks, when 70 years is up, I'm going to let you go. And when 70 years were up, he let them go. And God is telling us through the application of Scripture this morning, you may be in a season of discouragement or despair or just being really down. If you work with God and partner with him, embrace the change, don't listen to lies, but listen to the truth, and understand that God has a hope and future for you, you'll begin to feel better. That's his part. Our part is twofold, to pray and to seek. He says in verse 12, look at this. You will call to me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. That's not after the exile. That's not when you're back in Jerusalem. That's now. You're in captivity. You're in this season. Now, if you will call to me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. That's a promise he made to them and that's a promise he makes to us. Prayer is the believer's passport into the spiritual realm. Prayer is the earthly request for heavenly intervention. That's prayer. So he said, pray. And then number two, he said, seek. Earnestly try to encounter the presence of deity. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Seek. Seek. Those who seek me will find me. Seek me with all your heart. It's one thing to seek. It's another thing to seek. Let me show you. Watch this. Everybody's dealt with this. My wallet, my keys, and my phone. Would to God Almighty every Christian would seek God as fervently as we seek these things when we lose them. Where's my wallet? Where is my phone? I worship at the altar of the phone. My Android, my iPhone. Oh. Where's my keys? I can't go anywhere without my keys. We panic. Why can't we panic when we can't find God? And by the way, God's not playing hide and seek with you. He's not hiding. He's right there. He said, if you seek me, look at this next verse. Verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I'm right here. I'm right where I've always been. And if y'all had honored my Sabbaths 500 years ago, if your parents and grandparents and great parents, grandparents and great, 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 great grandparents had honored my Sabbath 490 years ago, you wouldn't be where you are today. But even with all of that going on, I'm here. Pray, talk to me, seek me. I'm here. I haven't gone away. I'm not running away from you. I'm not mad at you. I don't hate you. I'm not planning to harm you. I got a hope and a future for you. And I'm going to restore you when it's time. But in the meantime, I'm here. So let's talk, pray. Let's seek. That's through the word. Prayer, simple. Prayer and the word. Question, do you pray? Now, I don't mean, now lay me down to sleep. You know, I mean, do you really pray? Have you prayed about your circumstance? I'm discouraged. Okay, have you talked to God about your discouragement? Or do you just whine? I'm so discouraged. Have you talked to God and said, God, I'm discouraged. I don't even know what to do with this. Are you immersed in wallowing in the discouragement of the situation? Have you sought the Lord? That's part two. Are you seeking Him because you love Him and want Him desperately in your life? Or are you seeking Him because you're in trouble and you want the pain to go away? I'm seeking the Lord because I love the Lord, whether the pain goes away or not. And by the way, I don't know why I'm saying this, but apparently I'm saying this because somebody needs to hear this. For the Christian, this world is as close to hell as we're ever going to get. For the unbeliever, this world is as close to heaven as you're ever going to get. And if I were you, I would get on my naked knees as fast as I could, and I would accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you think it's bad now, you've seen nothing yet. I'm seeking the Lord because I love Him, and I know that one day I will understand. Maybe not on this earth, but I'll understand eventually, one day. Now, when all that happens, watch this. You start by accepting the present reality. This is the way it is. This is the new normal. It is what it is. And then you go to the next phase and start listening to the truth. And then you go to the next phase and realize that I'm in a partnership and an alliance with God. And His part is to give me a hope and a future. And my part is to pray and seek. Then here's what happens. I love this. You're going to love this too in a minute. This is so cool. In verse 14, look at this. I will be found by you, and this is the Lord's declaration, and I will, what's the next word? Restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you. You're in this season. It is what it is. But one day, I'm going to do some reworking in your life. What's this? He restores. He rebuilds. He rekindles the fire in your heart that you used to have before you got discouraged. He revives your soul. He reconnects you with Himself and with His people. He reloads you for further service and ministry. He renews your spirit. He refines you like in the fire. He He burns away the dross so you are pure gold. He reminds you of who he is and who you are. He regenerates you. He regains you back into his into his ministry, his service, into effectiveness, and he returns you back to the place you should have been all along, but aren't. It's a lot of re's. He brings you back. These words, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to hurt you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. These words are more than just comfort words to go on a t-shirt or on a coffee mug. These are a divine declaration of the divine intention of the Lord God for you and for your life. And if you will join him in this partnership, it will be the grandest adventure you've ever been on. I believe, my hand's on the Bible, I'm in church, wouldn't lie to you. I've had some grand days in my life. But I believe with all my heart that my greatest days are in front of me, not behind me. If you're sitting soaking and souring in discouragement, you're going to think, my life is over. No, it isn't. Your life is going to be what you want it to be. If you want it to be over, it can be over. You can go home and crawl in a hole. Go eat supper at 4 o'clock so you can get home by 6:30 to watch Wheel of Fortune and go to bed at 8. That's the way you want to live? All right, that's fine. Or you can realize that God has me on this earth for something. And I'm going to find out what it is. I wish I had time to do the math on every person in this room and how long you've been saved. Do you realize the wealth of wisdom in this room? The wealth of experience in this room? Do you realize how messed up the world is? And how God has blessed us with wisdom and with faith and with hope and with love. We have a great big job to do, folks. Because it's bad out there. But we are part of the body of Christ. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Bible. We've been given the church. We've been given each other. We've been given power to be a witness. We've been given everything we need to live life and godliness. We are here for some reason. And you don't know what it's going to be. I'm amazed all the time at how God does stuff. Last Saturday, we celebrated Mary Jo's 90th birthday. And I know, she's amazing. She's amazing. So we sat across from her niece and nephew, right? And I didn't know them that well. Just super nice people. They're from Long Island, New York. New York. They told me, by the way, okay, I'll tell you something in a minute. They were here for Valerie's memorial service. So they said to me, well, we were there. We heard you. We know you. I said, really? I've never been to Long Island, New York in my life. Yeah, we were here for Valerie's service. Then they said this. We watch you every Sunday from Long Island, New York. New York. And they said, give me a shout out. They said this to me at lunch last Saturday. Hey, give us a shout out. So, hey! You never know when you run into somebody at a grocery store, at a gas station, online. You get a note in the mail. You have no idea how you are being effective for the kingdom of God if you just keep putting one foot in front of the other and don't be discouraged. Be not weary in well-doing, the Bible says, in due season you will reap if you don't faint. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I believe my best days are in front of me. I just can't allow myself to be discouraged. I don't have the time. And neither do you. Would you join me in this grand adventure of saying, Father, I know you have a hope and a future for me. I know how old I am. I know my limitations. I don't care. I'm still here. There's something you want me to do or you would take me out of this place. So whatever it is, I'm in. I'm in. Count me in. I want to be a part of this grand adventure so that one day when we're all in heaven and it's all said and done, we can rejoice for eternity. You remember that? Remember this? When we did that, when God did this, when this happened? Oh, man, it was amazing. It's more than just a slogan on a mug. I know the plans I have for you, God says. I know. I've got all knowledge. I'm omniscient. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this verse. It matters. It matters a lot. Because when we find ourselves discouraged or overwhelmed with life, and life is just smacking us around, we know we can come to you. We know we can embrace the reality of where we are right now, that we can stop listening to the lies of Satan and start listening to your truth, and we can partner with you, and you've got a hope and a future, and I can pray, and I can seek you, and I know that you are going to come through for me eventually. And I may not understand some stuff on this earth, but I know I will in heaven, and I'm okay with that. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity we have to know you. Thank you for the opportunity we have in this crazy, insane world we live in to be salt and light for Jesus Christ in a world that is dying all around us. It's a common thing anymore to hear about shootings and hear about crime and hear about murder and hear about hatred and hear about broken relationships. It's every day. And yet we have you. We have your word, your spirit. We have each other. I couldn't ask for anything more than that. So, Father, thank you for letting me be a part of what you're doing. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for your children as we get one day closer, one week closer to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.